am our God, King of the universe, who has made us holy through your commandments and commanded us to actively study the Torah. Please, Hashem, our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouths and in the mouths of your people. May we and our offspring and our offspring's offspring and all the offspring of your people, may we all together know your name and study your Torah for the sake of fulfilling your desire. Blessed are you, Hashem, who teaches Torah to your people. Amen. And when the Torah comes around, it's a word of God. It's a happy time. I know some of the churches of today get pretty solemn, but the Lord gave his word to us and spread it among us. He didn't hold it away from us. It's a happy time. So when the Torah comes around, it's a God's word and amongst us. Amen. Today we, as Pastor Sam said, we have two portions to the Torah. Actually, a baseball doubleheader, you might say. And I find this kind of interesting because the last time I was up here, I had two portions too. So either they're dumping on me or they think I can do it. This week's reading, both Tazara and Methora, I'm going to combine the two portions that it talks about as far as physical and spiritual disease. And that is Tazara's, or Azora's. There's about three ways that's pronounced, but it's Tazara. And a lot of you may have in your Bibles leprosy. I'm sorry, it's not the leprosy we think of. In fact, of all the excavations and checking of bones and everything, it was probably not known in those days in that area. The leprosy that we know about came from probably India. I've done some research on this, and it wasn't around in that area until about the time of Christ, a little before. So we're talking about, yeah, absolutely. We're talking about a disease, it's a discoloration that appears in various forms on human skin, on hair, clothing, and even walls of the houses. The afflicted individual must endure a complicated process of purification in order to rejoin the community. As we study further, we find that Tazara is tied to the sin of slander and gossip. The Talmud explains that a person with Tazara separates friends and family through the words of his, through their words and his slander, he separates people. And that's what happens when we go around gossiping, isn't it? Well, next we find another type of Tazara, one that affects and messes with your houses. If you notice that stuff that grows on the walls, that's not good. Well, that's the Tazara they're talking about. It goes on clothing, especially leather, walls. It needs to be cleaned before it affects you. Well, Rashi and Ramban explain that the first form of Tazara does not begin on the person, Hashem, in his mercy, first strikes an inanimate object. One's possessions. Without more research, I'm not going to comment on that part of it, but it sounds logical. I will say, in some cases, it was a blessing in disguise. That sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? But you see that as the Israelites were approaching the land of Canaan, the inhabitants hid their valuables and treasures in the walls of their houses. And so, when the priest came and ordered them to tear the rocks out that were contaminated, guess what they found? Treasure. And the reason they left it there is because they thought they would be back. They thought this was just a short time thing and that they would come back and get their treasures. Well, it seems a little ominous to me that God would use a disease like this to bring a blessing, to bring a treasure. So is there a lesson? You know what? I'll bet there's a story. After the end of World War II, a brilliant and flamboyant Torah sage, Rabbi Eliezer Silver, visited and aided thousands of survivors and displaced persons camps in Germany and Poland who were waiting to find permanent homes. One day, he was handing out sidurim, that's plural for sidurim, and other Torah paraphernalia. A Jewish man flatly refused to accept any. After the way I saw Jews act in the camp, I don't want to have any connection with religion. Rabbi Silver asked him to explain what exactly had turned him off from Jewish practice. I saw a Jew who had a siddur, yet he only allowed it to be used by the inmates in exchange for their daily ration of bread. Imagine. He sneered, a Jew selling the right to pray for bread. And how many customers did this man get? Inquired Rabbi Silver. Far too many, snapped the man. Rabbi Silver put his hand around the gentleman and gently explained, why are you looking at a bad Jew who sold the right to pray? Why don't you look at many good Jews who were willing to forgo their rations and starve just in order to pray? Isn't that the lesson you should take with you? Well, it seems to me that the two incidents of Tazara may be tied in that one was sent away and thought to have sinned and brought back. The other, once removed, revealed treasure. In other words, there's gold in them thar hills. Maybe we should look at those sent out and brought back the same way. Next time you look at somebody that's done something wrong and asks for forgiveness, look at the treasure. Don't look at the outside. Look at what's in there. Amen? And I'm going to throw something in. This is for free. You know, we're a treasure of God. We are. We have that treasure in us. But sometimes, what do? We cover it with contaminated rocks. Tear those rocks down. Shabbat shalom. I'd like to say something before we go. As long as we're going in there. I read.